Remus Lupin? A werewolf? Gasp! Who knew? Written by Lullaby Nell. Read by Opal Song. Part 11 of As Green as a Fresh Pickled Toad series. Summary. Specifically, I like to think that there was some upper year who figured it out because they paid really close attention in class. Like, not just, I have owls this year and I need to get good grades, close attention, but Professor Lupin is so nice and so funny, and he has such a nice smile, and wow, I am really gay. Close attention. I like to think that Hermione wasn't the only one to figure out that Professor Lupin was a werewolf. I mean, even if Snape assigned that essay to just their class, I can't really believe that nobody else put the clues together. Specifically, I like to think that there was some upper year who figured it out because they paid really close attention in class. Like, not just, I have owls this year and I need to get good grades, close attention, but Professor Lupin is so nice and so funny, and he has such a nice smile, and wow, I am really gay. Close attention. Let's all be real here. Remus Lupin probably holds the all-time Hogwarts record for most embarrassing adolescent daydreams and adolescent sexual/romantic awakenings caused. There was a lot of math being done about age differences by students, but to no avail. Because Remus was entirely oblivious to everything. Because they're all children. That student just wanted to ask some questions about the latest assignment, is obviously genuinely interested in the subject matter, and all that lashes fluttering was them probably just having something in their eye. He asked them, and they said so. And then they promptly turned bright red and screamed pure embarrassment into a couch cushion later when their friend asked how it went. He thought I had something in my eye, Sam! The result of this student figuring out Professor Lupin was a werewolf did not result in a panic about their teacher being a werewolf, though. At least, not the sort of panic that Snape might have expected. I read that transformation is really powerful. That's so awful, says Oliver Beamish, doodling hearts on his defense essay again. Do you think he's okay? He always looks so sick. I mean, he's so handsome, but he looks ill. I want to smother him and feed him soup. Is that weird? Yes, Beamish. It's really quite queer, Linda Peake says, even though she knows that he isn't actually listening. Replying makes her feel better, though, for having to sit through this and having Oliver Lupin written over every bit of spare parchment that comes into proximity of her friend. Is he eating all right? I read that werewolves should eat more before the full moon to help with how exhausting the transformation is. And there was something about filling the bloody and animalistic hunger, but that sounded like bullshit. Do you think he's getting enough sleep? He should get more sleep. If full moons are really so awful, he definitely needs it. I don't know if I could take that, though, since he already looks so handsome with rings under his eyes. I want him happy, but I'm not sure I could cope. I already can't cope. You've become a lunatic, said Linda, weighing the benefits between having a competent defense teacher and having to listen to Beamish wonder about how to care for his imaginary werewolf boyfriend. Lunatic, indeed. She is a master of humor. Sadly, She has plans for her school path and career track, so the competent teacher side wins. Also, Hufflepuff House took a toll, and he's been rated the nicest and most well-liked teacher after Sprout and Flitwick. She's pretty sure most of their house would cry if he left, and a heartbroken Beamish might be worse than a mooning one. She's not willing to risk it. Heh. Mooning. She'll have to remember that one, too. She begins plotting the death of Severus Snape when Remus Lupin is fired. She has plans, damn it! Also, so many puns! Ruined! Marcia Crickerly, Ravenclaw sixth year, also figured it out. And as soon as it clicked, she screamed at the top of her lungs. Because sometimes people shriek like banshees when they're surprised, okay? Okay. The next, more important thing that she figured out was that Professor Snape was clearly trying to sabotage Professor Lupin. Werewolves had a lot of restrictions on them about where they could work, and Marcia recognized immediately that the almost purely pureblood Board of Governors would never let a werewolf near children, no matter how good a teacher he was. If Lupin was outed, he'd be fired. And that could not stand. Ravenclaw House has taken their primary poll this year, and Lupin was already one of the best teachers in Hogwarts. He was nearly as knowledgeable and well-versed as McGonagall, nearly as approachable and clear as Flitwick, nearly as helpful and understanding as Sprout, and the most entertaining and engaging educator they'd had in years. Ravenclaw loved Remus Lupin. Snape, on the other hand, was despicable and therefore loathed. His teaching method was strict and inaccessible. Sink or swim was not an acceptable method, just as dark and intimidating was not an acceptable teaching manner. He appeared to enjoy insulting or ignoring any student who dared to try and interact with him, or just exist in the cases of some students, and had, on more than one occasion, threatened students and their pets. He was unfair and prejudiced and mean. The best one could usually hope for from him was indifference, and the worst was outright abuse. If one wanted to succeed in potions, the general advice throughout Ravenclaw was A. Self-study, B. Get a tutor, or C. Murder Snape so we can have a better teacher. Snape was really that bad, no matter how much of a potions master he was. And now it seemed that he was trying to get rid of the best DADA teacher anyone could remember. Marcia did not believe for an instant that Professor Lupin could be dangerous. As anyone with a brain in their head could see, there were wiser things in the world to fear. Like Professor Snape, who had been verified as a Death Eater. And Marcia would take a man who did not choose to turn into a cursed creature every month. She would take a werewolf any day at all over a man who had actually chosen to murder and oppress people, and be a member of a terrorist group that had killed her grandmother for harboring Muggleborns. How a man like that was allowed to teach, Marcia didn't understand. She rather understood why some Muggleborn and Half-Blood students were afraid to go to potions, or decided to give up that toxic environment after fifth year. If it came down to it, it was clear which one of them had to go. And it seemed that it was coming down to it. Morgaine, Mary, says Livy Lemaire, hurrying down the dorm stairs with her arms full of books. You didn't have to scream. I didn't take that long. Mary, what's wrong? Marcia looks steadily up at her friend, then says, Livy, we need to murder Professor Snape. Livy just stares. So Marcia feels compelled to add, not as a theoretical exercise. This distinction is important, for clarification's sake. They need to remove this potential saboteur so that they can get a better potions teacher and keep their current excellent defense teacher. Livy keeps staring, then seems to think about it, and finally decides with a shrug, okay, I'm down. How are we doing this? Slytherin seventh year, Miles Bletchley, also figured it out, and the occasion was noted by how he stared off into space for 10 minutes straight. The Slytherins who noticed this in the common room gave him a wide berth, because Slytherins usually had good instincts like that. Miles had really tried to deny it. He really just couldn't believe it. But the information couldn't be denied. It should have been impossible, because it was too ridiculous and incredible to be true, but... Miles looked down at the name again. Cursed the day his spellmaker mother had ever decided to hire him a Latin tutor. Especially one who liked to wax poetic about the history of the Roman Empire, which had been entertaining enough before, but... What kind of werewolf was named Remus Lupin? Remus Lupin. Remus Lupin. Just, what the actual fuck? Every subtle bone in Miles' thoroughly Slytherin self was screaming in terrible, terrible agony. He could not bear it. He couldn't believe this was happening to him. He couldn't understand what he did to deserve this. Miles swiftly decided to tell absolutely no one, because he liked having a good reputation in Slytherin even more than he liked having a competent defense teacher, and he went to go lie down for a long time. Maybe if he just repressed the information entirely, everything would be good again. He didn't really care about the werewolf thing. How could he? How could he when he was too busy resisting the urge to find the man's parents and demand answers? Remus Lupin! Great Merlin, why? The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!